G'day everyone. You may notice that it would normally say the Gospel according to Luke. Well, I've piked on that reading today, not because I don't think it's good. It's challenging, actually. I've thought, oh, that would have been really good to do. But when I read the second reading, or the Timothy reading, which was our first, I'm like, oh, I've got to talk on that. I've got to talk on that because I think it's what we need to hear. I feel led to talk to us from that Timothy reading today. While I will tap into the gospel reading briefly, I want to share with us today the things that Paul wanted to say to Timothy, and again, I think what God wants to say to us, his people here in Bendigo. So let me pray for us as we start. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that the words you've given us are life. And we pray that as we tap into the life that's been shown in our Lord Jesus Christ, that it will come to more and more bear fruit in us, to transform us and our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I do need to apologise to those who are really... I love the NIV version because what I'm going to be talking through is slightly different today. It's a Lexham Bible translation and it's just because it's the one I had when I was preparing. So it's very similar, but the differences are just slight. But all the same, today I'm going to be talking about Jesus. Oh, is that a surprise? Well, woohoo! Because this is what Paul wants to talk about. Paul wants to talk about Jesus. And as he starts writing to Timothy, who Paul sees as his son in the Lord, my dear child, Paul calls Timothy, he wants to make sure Jesus is at the centre. So in this passage, you'll notice, if you can see up here, there's six times that Paul talks about Jesus, but he doesn't just talk about plain Jesus. He's actually saying quite clearly in all of these, Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ. So Paul wants Timothy to know 100% that Jesus is the King, right? Jesus is the King. And if we follow Jesus too, then he is our King, right? He is our King. Paul goes to great lengths to say that over and over again. But if we just read too quick, we miss it. But there it is, six times in the first chapter, King Jesus, King Jesus. We often miss it because we see Jesus Christ as surname. But it's not surname, it's title. He is King Jesus. I would like you to enjoy this video about King Jesus.
The Bible says my King is the King of the Jews. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of the ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my King. I wonder, do you know him? My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduring. Strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and wicked. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Terror couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him.
King Jesus, right? Paul wants us to know that he is matchless. No one can get anywhere near him. He is worth following. And so that gospel reading, when it talks about at the end of the day, what can we say but we are servants? And when we follow him, we're just doing our duty. That's right. The sort of king that Jesus is, the right response is to say yes. I'm coming your way. Yes, you are the king and I am yours. That's the right way. But the great thing about King Jesus is it's not just I'll tell you what to do and you do it. It's also you are my friend. You are my family. You are my people. I am yours and you are mine. But let's never forget, he's the king and deserves our attention, our worship, and our effort. And so Paul, he tells Timothy many things. And it's a great passage here where Paul not only describes Jesus, but also describes some of the great things that the gospel is for us. So we have the promise. It's a promise. The gospel is also just the greatest news ever. It would be like the government telling us we had $1,000 to spend. No. No, not like that. It would be like the war is ended. The best news ever. The gospel. This is what Jesus has brought. The best news ever. It's a holy calling that we have. It's a gift. It's a good deposit. Jesus in this has abolished death and brought light, life and immortality. What an awesome thing. Many things, good things that King Jesus has brought for his people. Not only is he king, not only does he give gifts, but he wants us to share this thing. And this is where we pick up in the passage briefly that it's been passed on from grandmother Lois to mother Eunice to child Timothy. It's been passed on. And friends, as Paul always passed on, he encourages others to pass it on. This gift that God gives us in Jesus Christ, in the King, is something that is to be shared, is to be passed on. It's something to not be ashamed of, which Paul says in verse 8 there. Do not be ashamed. You don't need to be ashamed of King Jesus. He's the best thing ever. Even if our world has forgotten that he is the best thing ever, he is the best thing ever. And he's worthy of us following him with our whole heart. And it's worth parents, grandparents, trying to pass it on to your children. It's worth every prayer you put up, every effort you make. It is worth sharing and committing to that. It's worth sharing with those in your world, even with those who you don't like, who you consider your enemies. It is worth sharing with them, because very soon you might find that they are no longer your enemies. Because Jesus, the King, can transform broken things. So I've just got four things, actually, that I want to talk to us about, because Paul gives Timothy some instructions. And this is what I want to really leave with you today. The same sort of commitment that Paul calls Timothy to, being commitment Sunday in our church, I want to call us to the same sort of commitment that Paul calls Timothy. The first is this: to rekindle the gift of God that is in you. Rekindle the gift of God, or the NIV would say, fan into flame the gift of God. Has anyone ever had a fire? Oh, I don't see many hands, so maybe not. All right, there's a few people have had fires. You know when you have a big fat bonnie or a fire at the camp and it's out the next day, but there's still coals underneath, right? This is the idea here, that in the morning you actually need to work to get the fire going, don't you? You've got to work because it's almost out. So you've probably got to get down. You've got to get some twigs. You've got to put it down. And normally you've got to, like you're blowing up 100 balloons. You've got to rekindle. You've got to fan this fire to get it back to how it should be. And this little verse gives the inclination that perhaps there's a gift in Timothy that has shrunken down a little bit. That's not quite what it used to be. But Paul's hope is that that gift that God has given in the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit to Timothy, won't just be coals that are dormant, but rather it will be a fire that is thriving. And we all know with fires, others can gather to warm, right? And I pray for each and every one of us, the gifts that God has given us that may have had a time of life and are now a bit smaller, that we would fan into flame. And this is what the challenge is for you, to put some effort in and go, you know what? The gift that God has given me, it can grow. It can be used again. It can burst to life more fully. I'm not talking about your salvation. That is yours in Jesus. But the gifts of God for you can emerge more fully. So what do? You get down, you put the kindling on. Match God's grace and God's gift with effort. Effort to want his life flourishing in you. This does not earn salvation. I'm not talking about that. But taking our faith serious, pursuing the gifts of God because they're there for us, that is a good thing to do. And that's what Paul encourages Timothy, and that's what I feel God wants to encourage us to not let those things in us just sit there idle, but rather burst to life. The second thing, I've touched on it briefly, don't be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I pray that you will not be ashamed of Jesus and what he has done in your life, and that you'll be able to tell other people when the time is right, that you'll be able to own him as the reason why your heart beats, as the reason why you get up each day and look with hope for this world to still have a new day, that he will be the reason and you won't be ashamed of it. I pray that that would be the second thing, that you'll commit to be not ashamed. You'll commit to rekindle the gift of God that's been given to you, that you'll commit to not be ashamed of the Lord. The next one is hold fast to the pattern of sound words, that you will commit to keep the gospel pure, that you will commit to the very creeds that we talked about at the start of our service, that you will follow the sound words that have been passed down, that you won't just go, oh, well, this sounds good, I'll do it my way, but rather will hold to the pattern, stick to what is true and tested. Paul wants Timothy at an early time in the Christian church history to stick to it. How much more now we need to stick to what has been handed down to us and not deviate. Last one. This might turn into a quick sermon. Anyone got a problem with that? Right. The last one is to guard the good deposit. Not sure what the deposit is here. It could just be the Holy Spirit that's in you. It could be the gifts that have been given. Either way, Paul wants Timothy to actually actively protect these things. So if there's other things creeping in that will take away the gift, that will pour water on the gift, that might put it out, push those things aside so that you can guard what is most important. And if Jesus is the King, if Jesus is the King like that other preacher spoke about, if that's what he's like, then brothers and sisters, guard we must, because he is the most important thing to hang on to. His way, his life in us, and his kingdom coming to other people is the most important thing. And so we need to be vigilant. We need to keep pushing into what he has for us and to protect it. Why? Because it's important. It's important. The gospel message is important. The things that we have to do as a church are important. Because he is important. And so this Commitment Sunday, I'll just add one more with our church. I do pray that you rekindle the gift that's in you. Ask God to do that. You won't be ashamed of the Lord. You'll hold fast to the pattern that has been passed down and you'll guard the good deposit. In our church, what we're asking today with our Commitment Sunday really is for us to just be praying and saying, Lord, is there something you want me to do in this church? Is there something you want me to be a part of? You might actually find this, actually you can come off that. But is there something for you that he has special in this church? Now we've got a list of things that are named. There may be something more. So please don't limit where God might guide you in our church to the lists that we have standard. God can do so much more than what we put down on paper. Ask him to fan to flame the gift. Ask him to help you to be committed to our church. So we're asking you to consider how you give to the church. We're not saying up or down. We're just asking you to pray and think about that. We're asking you to wonder how you might continue to serve the church in various ways. But most of all, we're asking you to again to commit yourself to him who is great and who is our King. May God be with you. Let's pray. Christ Jesus, the King, you've given us such good gifts in life. You abolished death and have given us light, life and immortality in this beautiful gospel. Help us to commit ourselves to you afresh. And in being committed to you, we're also committed at this point to this church. May Heavenly Father, may you strengthen the things that in us that you want to bless. May you raise up the gifts in us that you want us to use. And may we do it all for you because we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.